fans, we are back. We want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving because that is when we are recording this. So, Mom, if you want to welcome everyone in.
Sure. Welcome, Canes fans, and happy Thanksgiving.
We are thankful that you guys are still listening and that you guys are Canes fans.
And the team is thankful, too.
Oh, for sure. We've definitely been talking to the players, the coaches, the administration. They are definitely only focused on Thanksgiving and nothing else that's happened around the program. But before we get into athletic director coaching talk that every single Miami Hurricane podcast or media member or anyone that has any type of Hurricane paraphernalia in their house are talking about, we want to talk about what happened against Virginia Tech, Mom.
They won.
They did win.
We win. Well, I mean, we won, not they. We won.
That's a good point. VodTech did not win this game. The Canes came away with a win. And one of the areas that was nice to see is that we actually handled the elements of weather.
I mean, it was pouring rain. It was pouring rain. I believe I mentioned that I had the opportunity to go to the game and was so glad I wasn't there because there was just no, even under the overhang, I'm sure you were soaking wet.
It was definitely a very wet game for sure. I am also glad because I had some opportunities to be able to go too. And it's too bad though because the seniors deserved a better crowd for all the work that they've done, as we always see each time that senior day does roll around or the senior game comes around for the Canes. So it's too bad that the rain played a factor and that again the team is not drawing a lot of fans, but there were other parts of the game that were pretty exciting. And I think one of the areas that we really liked was again how well that the offense is playing.
Well, they came out with such a great fast start and that paid off in the as they petered out, so to speak, in the third quarter and let VodTech get on the board a little bit with a little bit more points than what we had hoped. Those early scores really made a difference.
And it was nice to see that they were able to deal with the momentum of Virginia Tech coming back and ending up having an opportunity to ice the game away.
Well, we really lucked out at the very beginning of the fourth quarter when Knighton had a carry that was given a very favorable spot on the field and we got a first down. And I think that's what kept the game. That's what kept us in the game. That had we not gotten that, I don't know if we could have won the game.
I agree with that. I think it's one of those, you look at kind of what happened with Pittsburgh and that safety that didn't get called. And then the opposite, when other close calls didn't go our way at the beginning of the season. I think that's what's kind of frustrating about this is that every Miami win or loss this season has pretty much been, especially in ACC play, has been decided on a very close call by referees.
I agree.
And I think if you really want to make that step forward, which we'll get into a little bit more as a program, you can't be leaning on these close calls every game. You can lean on them once in a while, and that's just the way that football goes. But it's happening every single game, and that Knighton placement was huge.
Well, but it's also gone against us, too. So
I know, that's what I'm saying, is that when we've won games, it's because we get a favorable spot. And when we've lost games, it's because we haven't gotten a favorable spot. But the thing is we can't keep putting ourselves in these positions. And we should be dominating a game where this shouldn't be in question.
Right. I totally agree.
So there are some new names that stuck out to you this game as well.
Well, you know, I take a lot of notes during the game, and I just, these are names that that I really haven't written down as much this year as I did this last game. So I'm thinking maybe that both the defense and the offensive coaches are mixing things up a little bit and trying to see what other players can do. On the defense, there was a lot more by Ragone.
Ragone.
Well, they pronounced it both ways during the game.
I believe it's Ragone.
I believe it is too, but when one announcer said Ragone, the other one says, no, it's Ragone.
Sure.
So you pronounce it however you want to. Marcus Clark was another one. Chase Smith, Jordan Miller, and Yonder Johnson. Names that had some good plays on defense this game that we really haven't seen a whole lot of in the prior games. Yeah. Some of them, we've seen them, but not to the extent that they were playing in this game.
Definitely seemed like there was a little bit more of some other guys that were coming off the bench that were doing well. The Breshad Smith touchdown that Tyler Van Dyke hit on the out of the backfield. He's another guy that I'm hoping gets more into the rotation as well for the Canes and can help Knighton not have to take the beating that he does. Because again, Knighton's held up really well, but I mean, he's going to start having to have to do a full season next year. And they're definitely going to need to spell him, because even though he's a great athlete and a great running back, he still needs a break so he doesn't take a tons of beating.
He does not need to be in every play.
Yes. And then, you know, I mean, the big thing too in the storyline that is with his team is Tyler Van Dyke continues to impress everyone, and it's a great situation to have. It's going to be interesting to see what goes into the offseason, especially if there's a coaching change. This makes it a pretty desirable place, because now you have a quarterback that is only a freshman in class, and who knows, so he could have another 3 years at most.
Well, that's not what I heard this week, that he's a second-year freshman because of the COVID?
Correct. So, but he still has 3 years of eligibility to play.
Right. Sorry. Yeah. And then we're talking about, well, in the context of keeping Jake Garcia.
Okay. Yeah. So this is where we're going to go next to is Tyler Van Dyke has, if just in him alone, still has another 3 years of eligibility to play, barring any injuries or redshirt year. So he could play for the next 3 years if he stays healthy after this year, until he would have to leave. He is eligible next year, though, if things go really well, to enter the NFL draft. He has the arm for it right now, but I don't know if I would go that far to say that he is going to be a top NFL pick. Your hope is that a new coach, or if this coaching staff stays, gets him into a spot that can say, man, this guy's going to be really good, and then he can move on, and then Jake Garcia can come in his sophomore year or so to then be the star quarterback. But yeah, there's a good amount of worry that after landing Jake Garcia, this big prospect, that he might be looking for different pastures if Van Dyke keeps playing so well, as and he keeps winning ACC Rookie of the Year of the Week each week.
Well, and Jake Garcia was supposed to be our savior.
Exactly. So, you know, it'll be interesting, but sometimes that's how recruiting works out, is, you know, and that's kind of the fun thing that I love about, you know, finding a good 3-star recruit or 2-star recruit that really pans out well. But Van Dyke's done the part and looks great, so we're going to see where that goes from there. But again, in the same way that he's really coming to his own and being comfortable, the way that Derek King did last year, is when he kind of has the ball, you feel comfortable that something good's going to happen.
Definitely. So I would go with that. Another name that I saw more of, or we saw more of, was George, because he'd been primarily doing the punt returns.
Yep.
But he was in on a couple offensive plays and did well.
Yep.
Trying to find, he had a long, while that was a punt return, he had like a 42-yard punt return. But that's not my point. My point was that he was always also in on offensive plays and carried the ball. He had some yardage.
I know. You know, that's another great performance. Charleston Rambo becoming the 5th Miami wide receiver to eclipse 1,000 receiving yards in a season.
Yes.
We keep getting these good transfers. I think he has another year of eligibility, but he walked as like part of the senior ceremony. So I think we're going to lose him. It'd be too bad, because he'd be another great person to come back for another year and I think help his draft stock. I think he's going to be a late round draft pick and one of those classic examples of, oh, he looks good, and then next thing you know, he falls off. So
right.
I'd love for him to come back another year and go from there. So Mike Carley Jr. again had one of his better games and did a nice job. But, you know, again, all around, Canes did pretty well. Defense started to let up a little bit. But, you know, with James Williams out, and he's out for the season now, you knew that was probably going to happen a little bit. You know, when your best player comes off the field, you don't do as well. And that's good coaching right there. That's good analysis by me.
Yes. Outstanding. Really genius. Football genius. Geniosity. I also want to mention Thaddeus Franklin, who came in for really the last possession. He had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 carries in that last position.
There you go.
So mixing it up, that, just like I said. Red beans and rice and chocolate chip muffins. And they go to, boy, this wasn't exactly tough. Although, just like you say, Rambo should be recognized because we're probably not going to see him again. Although I could recognize him again next week. However, what I really wanted to give these awards to this week was, first of all, the chocolate chip muffins to Harley. And I know that you're going to say, why?
Why, Mom?
Why? But I'm going to say it because he started the game as the third all-time receiver in Miami history. He ended the game as the second all-time receiver. Second in all-time in touchdown catches. Now, we have been a little tough on Harley over the years, but I think that he should be recognized for that.
There you go.
And the second one goes to Flag, and he gets it because he was the leading tackler.
Wow. I'm surprised. I'm surprised Ragone didn't get it.
Well, the leading tackler, not just for the game. He went into the game like the leading tackler.
So you're just doing season awards at this point, it seems like.
Well, I'm recognizing these players.
Perfect. Good. Well, they get it.
Okay.
That's awesome.
They may not have been the best player in this particular game, but they have contributed over their career at Miami.
Hey, when it's your red beans and rice and chocolate chip muffins, you can make the rules each week.
Damn never straight.
Yeah, there you go. Damn straight. Mom, you've done more of the research on Duke. For me, I think I just see this as what it's been every game since we lost to UNC for Manny Diaz. He's pretty much coaching for his job. It's a bad ACC team. This team could be in a uniform that says Georgia Tech, could be in a uniform that says Virginia Tech or Florida State. It's a bad ACC team that I'm worried we're going to struggle with on the road.
Yeah, it's their senior night. They're coming off a 7-game losing streak, a 12-game ACC losing streak. And, however, I read something that is, what's the coach's name?
Cutcliffe. David Cutcliffe.
It almost seemed like he was throwing in the towel already.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens with him in this game in the end of the season, just because Duke has struggled so much. I mean, he has meant a lot to that Duke program, has done a lot of really good things to make them a little bit more of a player every few years in the ACC. We'll see if he hangs around. I mean, this could be one of the last games we see him coach for Duke. I mean, I have no reporting or sources or anything like that on it. I just could see him kind of coming at the end here of just being like, man, these are a lot of games we're losing. But that just sets it up nicely for Miami to lay a stinker and then come out against Duke and let David Cutcliffe think about hanging around for another year.
Yeah, I hope not. Oh, please, don't let that happen. He said he's going to rotate 2 or 3 quarterbacks, and their names are Gunnar Holmberg, Riley Leonard, and Jordan Moore.
So we're going to see a lot of different quarterbacks.
So that's gotta be sort of gumming up Manny Diaz's defensive plan.
I sure hope so. I mean, again, Manny Diaz as the defensive coordinator has not been the strongest recently. So I think that'll be interesting.
I'm saying gumming up as in making it problematic for Manny.
Oh, I hope not. Gosh, I hope not. If you have 3 quarterbacks rotating through, you should not do well. But I guess that did happen where they played 2 quarterbacks against us at Virginia Tech and we still let up a bunch of points. So David Cutcliffe, fun thing, little research while we're doing this. He only has 1 year left on his contract. So, again, yeah, it could be win or lose. One of the last games we see. Yeah, he is the Duke Blue Devils are 3-8, 0-7 in the ACC. I mean, that makes sense. Obviously, they haven't won an ACC game this year with what Mom said. 4-21 in ACC play the last 3 years. Oh, man.
Well, please don't let this be an aberration in their statistics.
This is pretty interesting, though. I know we weren't expecting to go down a Duke hole here. Duke's last winless ACC season was 2007. I didn't know that. So, I mean, that says a lot about what Cutcliffe has done with this program. So, yeah, I imagine...
Got him winning 2 games a year.
Yeah, imagine if they're going to be out there to try and give him one for this game. So we're going to see what happens with the Canes, and hopefully... nothing bad does happen against Duke.
Supposedly they have a weak tackling. That
sounds like us, though.
Yeah, sometimes. And, I mean, really weak. I mean, even Cutcliffe is talking about the fact that they run up to a guy and they don't bring him down. You got to do something more than just run up to a guy. Say, I'm tackling you.
I mean, just on the numbers, they played a close game against Georgia Tech, which, of course, we struggled against. But everybody has beat them handedly this season in the ACC. So, again, please take care of business, Manny and Miami, and let's just get out of here and get into the bowl game. But, again, talking about Manny and all of that, there isn't too much we can report on the administrative changes or anything like that. But it definitely the big names that keep creeping up here. If again, Manny Diaz, who's still the head coach, he met last longer than Dan Mullen did this season, which was a pretty big surprise when Florida let Dan Mullen go earlier this week. Mario Cristobal seems to be the top target, and Lane Kiffin, also a big target. Both, I think I'd rather go with Lane Kiffin because you kind of know what he is and he does seem to find ways to win, and your offense is going to be fun. I also think he will lean into the swagger and obnoxiousness that is University of Miami, which would be a lot of fun when you're winning.
I think I would prefer him too for the same reasons. They're very different. They're very, very different, I guess, in their styles.
Yeah. I mean, Cristobal is definitely, I think, a lot more of a disciplined guy, wants to go there. Again, though, but, I mean, a bad loss to Stanford at the beginning of the season. And, you know, it's a bad, this is like if we were in national title contention and lost to Duke this year. Like, say we were the top four team. I'm not talking about just, okay, this year or anything. Say we were a top four team going to play Duke this weekend, and we all of a sudden lost at Duke. That's how bad of a loss it was for Mario Cristobal. And, you know, I mean, again, he's in Oregon in the Pac-12. Like, not many people are paying attention to that when it happened. But that's a really bad loss. And then the biggest game that he's had, other than the Ohio State game this season, that he had to win was the game at Utah. And that team got blown out. And if you're trying to vie for a college football playoff, not only did you know, it's not like one of those, oh, wow, Utah went toe-to-toe and found a way to win that game at home, and you say, wow, Oregon did it. Oregon came out flat and wasn't prepared and wasn't ready and got smoked to knock them out of the college football playoff. And that's what makes me worried about with Cristobal.
It worries me, too. What was the score of that game?
I don't know.
That's all right.
It was
a blowout.
Oh, yeah. It was not close at all. Probably somebody that's on their phone right now can figure it out. Right away. I think they scored a touchdown, but again, it was one of those you knew right away. 38-7.
Oh boy. And that touchdown.
Yeah, they were up 28-0 at the half. They scored in the third quarter, so who knows? They could have been up 35-0 at one point. I forget, but that doesn't look good. So you have Cristobal, who really is only leaving that job for Miami if it comes around. I also think he's going to do a great job of getting a contract extension. Lane Kiffin, again, another option who I still think stays in the SEC. I think he's kind of fit for the SEC. The only reason you want him to come down is because he loves Florida and being on the blue water and not the swamp water. So that's why we only have the reason with LSU and all that. But at the same time, too, like Mario comes down, and when it's different, Mario's going to be here. If he has success, he'll stay for a long time. Lane Kiffin has success.
He'll be gone.
He'll be gone in 4 years, five. You know, the Dolphins all of a sudden will be like, let's bring him in. You know, it's just one of those, you know, could you get Kiffin and set this thing back up? Possibly, but still.
He's a Nick Saban.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. But, yeah, now some of the jobs are open up. You still got LSU, USC, Florida's open now. You know, there's some good jobs that are out there that, you know, going to be vying for these candidates, too. It's, I mean, it's a tough year to have. What USC is what, the West Coast of Miami, like Miami and USC are very similar and you're going to draw the same type of candidates.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, it'll be interesting to see. Do you think they'll do the athletic director first?
I would hope so. I still hope that they do it. I think that's more important right now to get that done. That seems to be kind of slowly moving along, maybe not going as fast as that we would like for it to. So, and then they've got the a couple candidates. The big one, the big candidate that they have right now is Tom Jurich. Tom Jurich. J-U-R-I-C-H. I'm struggling on this one right now. But anyway, he was the Louisville athletic director back over and oversaw Bobby Petrino and Rick Pitino. So if you want good scandalous Miami back, this is your guy.
This is not making me happy.
He is also 65 years old, so if he comes in to take this job, he is going to try and prove right away that the scandal that happened at Louisville, because he did get, I believe, exonerated, and anything that was said about him was let go. But he, you know, is looking for another chance, but he's 65, so he's not going to come in and try and build it right away. He's going to try and get rich quick, which is
Miami,
the city of Miami, so he'll be a great fit for the rest of it.
There's nothing about this guy that I like.
So, I mean, the only thing that you're going to like is that he's going to figure out ways to hire guys and bring in somebody like Urban Meyer and
oh boy,
the program is
going to
win a lot of games,
oh
but you're
my going gosh. To
feel really sticky about it by the end.
Oh, no.
A little bit, I think, in desperation mode to find winning, and I'm worried that we are going to have somebody we're not going to really like, and we'll win, but it'll be sticky and gross.
Okay.
But that's how we do it. That's how we've always won, I guess. We'll see. Except in the early 2000s. I still think that wasn't too icky and gross.
No, it wasn't. Those were a lot of fun.
The only thing that people got mad was that they were just so good and could just be and whip up on people and celebrated. That's the only thing.
Too bad all the best games we saw were before you even matriculated at Miami.
Yeah, I mean, again, the best game we ever went to was that Florida game in the Orange Bowl that Brock Berlin came back
yes.
on. And that wasn't even still the best team that they had at the time. But, man, was that a lot of fun.
We
went to the Vautech Miami game before they went to the Fiesta Bowl. We saw some good teams
back then. Yes, we sure
did. Oh, God, I miss the Orange Bowl and going to games. It was a dump, but there was a vibe to it when you walked in at 3 o'clock to be ready for a 3:30 kickoff.
It was so much fun, notwithstanding the toilets. The bathrooms.
Yeah, well, you know, everything can't be perfect.
Forget the bathrooms.
Anyway, and just mainly people just using their bathroom wherever they wanted to at the stadium.
Yeah, it was.
Man, I miss the good old days. Yeah. Anyway, so looking ahead now, instead of looking behind, we go back to the Duke game and we do predictions. I'm going to make this pretty quick. Miami is going to win 30-7.
30-7. Okay. I'm going to say they're going to win 45-10.
Wow. There we go. We don't have Duke scoring a lot of points, which means that Duke will end up scoring a lot of points and then make it a lot more nervous.
We have not been on too close on most on any of these games this year.
We're going to go over our predictions. Actually, that's a segment we're going to do before the bowl game is to actually go over and see how we did this year since we've never actually done it. And luckily, you've written it down this year each time.
Yes.
So we'll take a look and actually go over prediction radio after it's already happened to see how we did. But anyway, Mom, let's break it down and again let everyone go enjoy their Thanksgiving that they've already eaten and had today.
And they're
because by the time that we get this podcast out, it'll be well over.
And they'll be eating leftovers.
C-A-N-E-S, Canes. There we go. Look at that. It's so much better when we're in person together. This has been another episode of Walking On with Chris Hayes featuring Mama Hayes.
Go, Canes.